say that you're a runaround lover, though you say it isn't so. But if you put me down for another, I'll know, believe me, I'll know. 'Cause a knife has a thousand eyes, and a thousand eyes can't help but see if you are true to me. So remember when you tell those little white lies that the knife has a thousand eyes. You say that you're at home when you phone me, and how much you really care. Though you keep telling me that you're lonely, trying each time that my kiss is straight. 'Cause a night has a thousand eyes, and a thousand eyes will see me too. And no matter what I do, I can never disguise all my little white lies. 'Cause a night has a thousand eyes. So remember when you tell those little white lies that the night has a thousand eyes.
Welcome to another edition of the Australian DX Report. This is Bob Padula in Melbourne, Australia, bringing to you our latest roundup of news concerning shortwave broadcasting stations around the world. We include information concerning propagation reports, monitoring information, solar activity news, schedule information, and other items of interest to shortwave monitoring enthusiasts. A reminder that all times we give in these programs are in UTC, also known as GMT, and all frequencies are in kilohertz. Even though sunspot activity remains very low, there was a recent rare opening into Melbourne in the morning period just before sunrise in the 13, 15 and 17 megahertz bands. Much of this was long path transmission from the Middle East and Africa, and short, it's darkness path propagation from the Americas. Now, this summary may be of interest for frequency occupancies noted in the 730 to 1800 window. 13630, the Voice of America from the Botswana relay station in English. 13710, the broadcasting service of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia in Arabic. 13730, NHK Radio Japan via the relay station at Salata in Madagascar with programs in Swahili to Africa. 13820 Radio Marti from the Greenville transmitting station in the USA, broadcasting in Spanish to the Americas. And 13845 USA WWCR in English. 13860, the Voice of America, another frequency, this time from the Botswana relay station in English. Now in the 19 metre band, 15140, Radio Oman, with English language programming. 15200, South Africa. Deutsche Welle via the Meyerton relay station, transmitting in Hausa. And 15205 and 15225, two frequencies for the Saudi Arabian Broadcasting Station, both carrying Arabic programming. 15235, South Africa, Channel Africa, the service broadcasting from Meyerton in English to Africa. That's actually intended for the African continent. 15400, the BBC from the Ascension relay station in English. 15435, another frequency for the broadcasting service of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, again in Arabic. And 15460, the Voice of America from the Sao Tome relay station with English. 15490, South Africa, Adventist World Radio from the Meyerton relay station with broadcasts in African languages. 15540, Radio Kuwait with its broadcast in Urdu. And 15580, the Voice of America from Botswana in English. And 15610, WEWN from the USA in English. And 17655 in the 16 meter band, the Voice of America from Greenville, North Carolina, with programs in Portuguese. So that summary was concerned or related to recent monitoring, spectrum analysis done here in Melbourne between 1730 and 1800, and we looked at the 22 meter band, the 19 meter band, and the 16 meter band. That was an unusual propagation event, and it's unknown whether that type of propagation will continue in the immediate future. And now something a little different, a report concerning developments in radio astronomy. This is titled Study of a Microquasar from Our Galaxy to Explain the Structure of Distant Radio Galaxies. It's actually from the Eureka Alert newsletter, which is the global source for science news. I'll give it to you now. Researchers of the group Fuentes de Alta Energia de la Galaxia of the UJA, in collaboration with researchers from the University of Barcelona and its Institute of Cosmos Science, have discovered for the first time a Z-shaped structure in a microquasar, a small-scale version of a radio galaxy. This discovery, published by the scientific journal Nature Communications, had interesting consequences for some of these radio galaxies that have been assumed to date as gravitational wave emitters. Gravitational waves are vibrations in space-time, the material from which the universe is made, explains Pedro Luis Luque, co-author of the article and head of the UJA group. In this sense, he insists that when these waves are caused by the fusion of black holes that are too far away from each other, we're not able to distinguish them individually, and they form a common gravitational wave background noise that joins the one caused by the Big Bang itself, so that their detection will allow us to obtain information from both the first instance of creation and the formation and nature of black holes. In order to know it will be possible to observe the background of gravitational waves in the universe, it's necessary to quantify their intensity. One way to do this is to study the contribution of so-called winged radio galaxies, distant galaxies that emit high-speed particle jets whose morphology resembles a gigantic X or Z when observed in radio waves. It was believed that these large structures found in winged radio galaxies were mainly due to a previous fusion of two supermassive black holes, and therefore these types of astronomical objects have been considered important contributors to the gravitational wave bottom, says Joseph Marti, first author of the article on Professor of Astronomy and Astrophysics at the UJA. However, the study shows that this doesn't have to be the case and supports another alternative explanation for black hole fusion. The behaviour of both astronomical objects, microquasars and radio galaxies, follows the same physical laws. So it's possible to say to the first ones, which evolution is much faster, are relatively small and are found in our own Milky Way, to extrapolate the results by analogy to the distant and massive radio galaxies. It's something similar to what engineers do when they work with scale models in a wind tunnel. Given that the microquasars we know with certainty that they have never hosted two black holes, but only one that captures matter from the yellow star, the Z shape observed by the authors in one of them, can't be due to the fusion mechanism and its morphology. Can be explained by means of simple hydrodynamic interactions in the surrounding medium, where the jets are ejected by the microquasar, change their direction wherever they collide with the surrounding material. Extrapolating the result of the case of winged radio galaxies, we can infer that a good number of them would obtain their characteristic shape in the same way as the microquasar, and not through the fusion of two black holes, as it was thought. In light of this result, the melting rate of supermassive black holes in the universe needs to be reviewed downward, since the presence of winged structures does not guarantee that they would have been a source of gravitational waves in the past. In this way, the gravitational wave bottom level would be weaker than what it was previously estimated. In order to achieve this outstanding result, the authors of the article recently had to perform observations with one of the set of the most sensitive radio telescopes of the world, the Yangtze Very Large Array, located in New Mexico, and combined them with all of the observations made over the same microquasar in previous decades. Only by combining these data, it has been possible to reach the necessary sensitivity to perceive the Z shape and to deduce from them the important implications that it may have not only in the magnitude of the gravitational wave bottom, but also in other fields of this science, such as stellar astrophysics, or in the understanding of the formation and evolution of galaxies. The work in which researchers from the University of Barcelona have participated is part of a financial project by the Ministry of Economy and Competitiveness. Now that was a story from the Eureka Alert, the global source for science news, which concerns distant radio galaxies as a study of a microquasar from our galaxy to explain the structure. Some notes now from technical monitors in Eastern Europe from the SWL DX Bulgaria web blog. Concerns the recent reception on the high frequency bands in the Bulgarian area. Good signal of Radio Kuwait on 7250 between 0800 and 1000 to Western Asia in Persian, 250 kilowatts. And also on 17760 between 1000 and 1200 to Southeast Asia in the Filipino language. And reception of FEBC radio in the Philippines, 15450 between 0900 and 1000 to Asia in Chinese languages. And the broadcasting service of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia on 21670 between 0900 and 1155 with 500 kilowatts to Southeast Asia in Indonesian. And also on 11745, that's Al Azim radio relayed by Saudi Arabia between 0925 and 1140 with programs in Arabic to the Near and Middle East. And very good signals in Europe of KBS World Radio from Seoul in South Korea, 9645 with 100 kilowatts, 1255 to 1300 and 1300 to 1400 to Central Asia programs in Russian and in Korean. and the Sri Lanka Broadcasting Corporation, noted on 9720 from Trincomalee, Sri Lanka, 11:15 to 12:15 with 125 kilowatts to South Asia in Hindi, Malay and Tamil. First signal in Europe. And Radio Japan, NHK World Radio, via the Dubai relay station in the UAE. 9580 is the frequency with 250 kilowatts, 1515 to 1600 to Southern Asia in Urdu. And reception of Radio Republic of Yemen Radio, broadcasting from the relay station in Saudi Arabia on 11860 between 0900 through until 1800, broadcasting in Arabic to the Near and Middle East. So that was a summary of some reception notes provided by the technical monitors in Sofia, Bulgaria, in the DX Bulgaria weblog. That's all the information in our program this time. We hope you found the broadcast interesting and helpful for your shortwave radio monitoring.
Granny leapt up in the air shouting out, "Tonight!"